Let's read just a little bit from the Word of God. See if there's any hunger tonight. I know there is an inspiration here and there is an ego. Maybe there might even be a hunger and a thirst. You can't ever really tell about the hunger and the thirst until after you get into the Scriptures. And when you start reading the Scriptures, then you can find out whether it was just a fleshly enthusiasm as to the music and, you know, the terror. It likes the rain as well as the wheat. And so when the singing and all this is going on, you can't tell the difference. Singing helps to run the evil spirit away, like when David played on his harp and Saul had that evil spirit troubling him. It just went away when there was a musical atmosphere. And when the prophets sometimes would be upset and they couldn't seem to get in the anointing as to wanting to prophesy, afraid that they might prophesy within their own spirit and their own mind, they wouldn't do anything until they'd get somebody to play the timbrels. Then they'd get to praising God, and when the anointing would come down, then they'd say, "Thus saith the Lord." And the Bible speaks of them that prophesy in Baal. Baal means flesh or God of the flesh. And we don't want to prophesy that way. We don't want to preach that way. We want to have the inspiration of God. So when we come right down, leaving the music, those kind of things, and we start talking about the Word, we know whether or not you are really in the Spirit, because the rain is on the just and the unjust. As to the blood being on the seat of atonement, this provides something for the outer man to keep him inspired and alive and to keep him saved from the wrath of God until the church comes out from among the people. Once the church comes out and the church comes together and they are translated into the kingdom, then after that, we move toward the change of the body. And from that, then we realize that it is the Word as to the inner man. And if a person hath Christ inside, the same yesterday, today, and forever, then this Word is relative to Christ because it was made flesh. And God desiring to make you the same as the Lord Jesus Christ, He said, "Let this word mine be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." And in having this, these words are spirit and these words are life. To them that find these words, they are life. And so then when the Holy Spirit speaks from within the minister, they shall all be taught of God, the Bible teaches. Not the minister speaking, but the great Holy Spirit, which is the Heavenly Father. So when that inner man begins to yearn and hunger and thirst, he will thirst for the Word. And then the Word will be made flesh, and we will become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, because as He is, so are we in Him, and He was the Word made flesh. Therefore, we being made the Word flesh, then we're His body, and wherever He is, that's where we are at, and whatever He is, that's what we are. And we find ourselves filled with the Spirit and the inner man rejoicing, hungering and thirsting to grow to the full measure of the full stature, the little one forming within the womb. Paul said, "Travailing till Christ be formed within you." This Christ He forms and He grows into maturity. And that means that if you hunger and thirst after the Word, like as it was when John leaped within the mother's womb, the Bible said when it was spoken of concerning Christ and the wonderful love of God, he was filled with the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb. And even though John did not receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, because Jesus had not as of yet died for sin, the remission of sin, so that the gift could be given, which is eternal life. But still the Spirit of the Lord being poured out upon him under the law, under the writings of the Old Testament of the scrolls, Then there was an experience, and even John the Baptist's father, the Spirit was poured out upon him, and he prophesied, and though he had not received the gift of the Holy Ghost, yet the Holy Ghost was there. The Holy Ghost was there back during all of the time of the Old Testament and the teachings of the Old Testament, and it was there speaking and bringing forth prophecy. The Bible speaks of the word of prophecy as being the testimony of Christ, or the great Holy Spirit speaking from within you today, just like he spoke within the prophets. The only difference is that he abides within his temple today to live in you as to a measure, as to whatever you are able to receive of him. And when it comes to the Old Testament, it was the rain upon them, because the Christ had never entered into their life that they might be born again. And that's why the Bible uses the terms that though they were great, even as Abraham and Elijah, and none greater than John is to those born among women, but nevertheless, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom is considered the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And that means that he's greater even as to the very least, because he that is in the kingdom is perfect. From his origin, he is perfect. And them that were under the law were not so. They were not filled with the Spirit. See, so that means that the Bible, speaking of this, said, and they without us could not be made perfect. So then they rested within their lot, as it was said to Daniel, seal up the vision, thou shalt rest within your lot. And when the same vision come to John, it said, see that you seal it not, for the time is at hand. The veil had been rent at Calvary, and it was then to be shown. So they that were under the law all died in the faith, not having received the promise, which was the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit of Christ, which was Christ Jesus. The Bible said, and 430 years before the law, God made a promise, confirmed it in Abraham, and ordained it in the hands of angels. And he made this promise that blessing I shall bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee, and thy seed shall be as the sands of the seashore and the stars in the sky, innumerable. And all nations shall be blessed within thee or in him. So when he made this promise, then it took the law coming in to reveal to us our need for a Savior, or to bring sin to surface, that we might, through our eyes of understanding, see our transgressions and our shortcomings toward God. And in this, the law being sent for no other purpose, it revealed the people's sins to them. And Paul said, I was alive without the law. When the law came, sin revived, and I died. In that, he was saying to you and I that where there is no knowledge of sin, sin is not imputed. So when the law came, it brought a knowledge of sin, for sin gets its strength by the knowledge of the law, or by the law. So in this, the Bible said, after the law had done its work, then he to whom the promise was made came, even Christ, as to Isaac the promised son. Not as to Ishmael of Hagar, which represented the Jews, that Paul said these things answers to Mount Sinai as to the giving of the law. As to Hagar, old Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage to her children, or with her children, not having come past the law, the rent veil being blinded in part until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. The Jews could not grasp the fact that everybody was to be blessed. They said, Abraham is our father. Then when Jesus came and confronted some of them, said, if Abraham had been your father, then you would have rejoiced. You would have been glad. You would have received me gladly. For Abraham rejoiced when he saw me, said he saw my day and was glad and rejoiced. And they said, you're not yet 50 years old, and you say that you have seen Abraham, and they accused him of having a devil. So then they said, Abraham be our father. We're not children of fornication. He said, your father is of the devil, He said, I came from God and you received me not. See, they did not get a hold of the fact that the promise that was given to Abraham was not under the law, but by faith. And they were compelling the people to be circumcised as to the sign of the covenant, even strangers that came in among them. And they did not realize that Abraham was given this covenant while he was yet in uncircumcision, and received the circumcision as a sign or a seal of his faith. And they did not acknowledge the fact that when the promise was given, it said, and in thy seed, even Isaac as to Christ, all nations shall be blessed, not just the Jewish nation, but all nations. And that there would come a time when God would bring a revelation called the revelation of Jesus Christ, and bring a man like Paul to understand this, and to confront them with this, to make them to know that at the dispensation of the fullness of time, God sending forth his son made of a woman and made under the law came to redeem them from under the law, in that they were under the curse. Because in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, it tells us that cursed is he that continueth not under the law to do all things written therein. And if you attempt to keep the law, you are debtor then to keep all of the law. And whereas the Bible says, the law being given to you, none of you keep it. And the name of the Lord is blasphemed among the Gentiles because you profess this. See, and you don't do it. This is why I so often say you cannot live a Christian life. Christ lives the overcoming life on the inside of you. He wrought everything in his own body called Jesus. And then laid down the body through suffering to take away the sinful image that had followed you since the time of Adam. And then took you out of that body as a spiritual inter-angelic being. Hid you in his spirit, which was Christ, and then went away with your life into the body that's at the right hand of the Father. We overcoming, as the Bible said, sitting down in the throne with him, that is to say, our life within him. And the Bible said, when he, our life, appears, then the resurrection will come. For at death the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. And as the spirit that returns to the dead bodies out in the grave, so does our spirit return to us as one with Christ. And then we are alive in the body right now. We're dead in the body and the body's buried. We don't have to worry about it. It has nothing to do with us or our salvation. It was an offender and God killed it, the sentence of death in the body, because of sin. So that means transgression of the law. And so when Jesus fulfilled the law, folded it up, laid it away, and then came into our heart, then that was the righteousness of the law. And today we're free from the transgression of the law, which is sin that cometh by the human body transgressing, or the old beast, as to what started in the garden when the Shekinah glory lifted. Well, anyway, let me read just a little bit here and talk to you for just a few moments along these lines. Romans chapter 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets and the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul, in the book of Romans, brings out so many astounding things like this that I'm about to read. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, remember now, therein, that is in the word of the gospel. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Now this is something to consider. It is in this gospel, in this preaching, in this teaching that you will find the righteousness of God revealed, because this story, this preaching, this revelation is for one purpose, and that's to reveal unto you the righteousness of God. And in the tutoring, if the man is a God-man, a real minister like John sent from heaven for the work, he will understand, for the Bible said the righteous shall understand, and he that God sendeth shall be righteous even by the Spirit of Christ that's found within him, and he will speak God's word, and they will understand that God revealed from faith to faith is the way that this thing is. So I read this again to you. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. What is the righteousness of God? Christ. Jesus Christ is our righteousness. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, not from work to work. It's not a matter of working from one thing to another. The works was finished from the foundation of the world. And even though the works was finished from the foundation of the world, they that came out of Egypt did not enter into his rest. Therefore, seeing that they did not enter into the rest, the Bible said these things that came upon them happened for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. Therefore, seeing that they could not enter in, it was not because of the failure of works, but it was from the failure of faith. By unbelief they were cut off. And the Bible said, you fear lest you also fail to enter into his rest. Though the works was finished from the foundation of the world, Paul said. So then it is from faith to faith. I am justified by faith. My heart is purified by faith. Righteousness cometh to me by faith. Even the righteousness of the acts and works of the Son of God, even the dying of Jesus Christ and the giving forth of his blood, my heart believeth unto righteousness, which is Jesus Christ my Lord. And in this, the faith of Christ purifies my heart. And in that, the Spirit of Christ comes into my heart and speaks through my spirit, testifying that I am saved from sin and from death. So, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the lips man maketh confession unto salvation, for what a man speaketh cometh from his heart. And in that, this is the simple plan of salvation, as to say, we're not to say as to who shall ascend into heaven to bring him down, nor as to go into the deep depths of the earth to bring him up. For this is nigh unto you, even if you will confess with your lips and believe in your heart. Calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus, thou shalt be saved. So, when I read this as Paul ministered to the Roman people, it stares me on the inside, because it is a deep dimensional thing of the mystery of God that is hid within the gospel and only revealed to the saints of God. So herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as we are inwardly called from glory to glory. We are going into the glory of God, for he hath called us unto virtue and glory, and the virtue means to abstain from the flesh, come out from the world, be virtuous, and then the glory will reveal itself within you. And then the Bible said, the pure in heart shall see God. A lot of people never get revelation, because God is the spirit of light, which means that which is revealed or revelation. And you can never see God as a natural person except Jesus Christ. He is the fullness of the Godhead, bodily speaking. The Bible said the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. And there is no other human person of God. Though there is a heavenly Father, he is a spirit, a great eternal light. And though there is a Son, he is the human body, the embodiment of the great Spirit. And that not by measure, but in the fullness. Though you be by measure as a member, but yet he the fullness of it. So in seeing this, the Holy Ghost, we know that's the Spirit of God coming into our hearts by measure. As to the children, receiving a measure of the Holy Ghost, to be filled with the Holy Ghost, or to receive a measure of the Holy Ghost as a member of the body. But anyway, looking at this, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. See, it's the power of God. He sent his word and healed them. By his word, he cast out the unclean spirits. By his word, he spoke the world into existence. By his word, he spoke you into existence. By his word, he upholdeth all things by his word. For in the beginning was the word, God the word, or the God word. In the beginning, and that God word, which was a light, a spirit, that became a word to the extent that it needed a human body and a vocal utterance when it said, let there be. And so that it created a human form called Jesus. And this human form was in the foreknowledge of God before the world ever was. And all things were made by him and through him. And all things were made for him. And without him was not anything made that was made. It was all made for his glory. So then the great eternal spirit works through that body to us. And we have to go through that body to the great eternal spirit. There is no sidestepping. There is no other doors. There's no other way. Jesus said, I am the word way. I am the spirit word way. And it goes through its stages as the word. It goes through its stages as a sound. It goes through its stages. Faith by hearing to the sound of the word. And then it goes through its stages of spirit. And so then the last stages of it, it is spirit. Within your spirit, within your heart, the heavenly treasure within the earthen vessels that from Calvary now is made known to the church, the manifold wisdom of God, you having the spiritual mind of understanding within your bodily temple called an earthen vessel. And Paul said, these things that are in the world are not to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed in you at the coming of the Lord when the centermost potential is made manifest in your human body as the life of Christ. He said the comparison to this makes things in the earth beggarly elements. So once you come to know the Lord, he said, why turn ye again to go back into Egypt or to look back into Egypt? And be entangled once again with the beggarly elements of the world. As to the bond's child, those belong to the child of bondage, which is intellectual, which is always feeding off of the natural desire of life and the natural physical inspiration as to a gullible desire of human senses, because that's the only life he has. But see, when you come to know Jesus, it's altogether different. So then he says here, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies, being between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, but thou that judgest doest the same things. Now, I found out that when I started talking there just for a minute or two, that there is a hunger. All of a sudden there is a stirring, and there is a hunger. And I can tell that even though you're still wrestling with the flesh as to the patience to listen, still there is a hunger. The Bible teaches that if there is no inner control over your outer man, then you're like a city with a broken down wall, and the devil just comes in on you whenever he wants to. But when you do like Paul said, keep under your body, bring it into subjection. He said, even as a minister, if I preach to others, I'll become a castaway if I don't do that. See, and knowing that we're called to the Spirit and that we're to walk in the Spirit and that God is a Spirit and that He wants to speak to you and I as under spirituals, wanting us to pray for the Spirit of revelation that we might become a spiritual people being transformated by mind into the wonderful spiritual world, that we may fellowship angels and that we might have fellowship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Or that is to say, with that great eternal Spirit, to have fellowship with Him. And the Holy Ghost bearing witness in our life and bearing witness in our behalf that we are dead to the world as to our human body and alive unto God. And then when we get like this, all of a sudden we find out that we're moving into the Spirit and great and mighty things begin to take place. But until we can walk in the Spirit, be born of the Spirit to walk in the Spirit. If I'm born of the words, the Spirit word, and I have the Spirit mind, the Spirit life, then I should conform as to my deeds to the Spirit word. It should come to pass that I will eventually walk like Christ. I will eventually talk like Christ. I will eventually act like Christ. Else I'm not coming to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. And I'm not going to receive the full reward that God has for me because I'm not going on if I be of such circumstance. So in this we see that God sent His Son in the fullness of time to redeem them that were under the law, to bring them out from under the curse. Now, in our day, everyone that is fallen from grace is under the law and shall be judged by the law, and by the law no flesh shall be justified. Therefore ye shall be condemned and placed in the bottomless pit or in the flames of hell, as we say. So it means that as long as we do not walk circumspectively as to desiring perfection, going on to be perfect, then that means that our outer man is lacking. Though I'm perfected forever, and though I'm without spot and without blemish, and though God has sanctified me once and for all and perfected me forever, and though God has justified me and God has glorified me as to my interperson and has placed the blood on the seat of atonement to protect my outer person until He can change it as to coming to the bar mitzvah or to the purchased possession, which is the body that He purchased at Calvary, or coming to what we say is the change, as Paul put it. See, this man on the outside is contemptible. He's contrary. He is just exactly contrary. I've said it so many times. Look in the mirror. Just watch what that feller does every time you do something. And you'll see that he's contrary. When I would do good, I find the law that evil is present. So then I find that my body is wretched, and within the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. For on the inside I have a will, it's present, and I have a will to do good. But in the outer man I see another law warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death, or that is to the law by which sin gets its strength, as to a condemnation, killing my faith. He said, and though I don't want to do that, I don't want those thoughts coming to me. I hate those thoughts, Paul said. I don't want those thoughts around me, and I don't give place to those thoughts, and I don't make allowance for those thoughts. But nevertheless, to the human body, as the human reflex, and to the nerve reaction of your human senses, these things are gendered upon your brain, and there's nothing you can do about it. You're going down the road, and you're happy, and you're praising God, and you just look up, and there's a big signboard of filth. You go to talk to somebody, and as you go to talk, the first news you know, their mind goes off into filth. That's why evil communications corrupt good manners, and two can't walk together lest they be agreed. I hear people say, well, it doesn't matter to me, Brother Pike. I can walk with anybody. I can fellowship anybody. I can walk off and leave it. But that shows your ignorance. There's no way that you can do that. When you fellowship people that are out in sin, those words find the lodging place. You may not know it right then, and you may walk off full of victory and full of faith and feel glory to God. I still feel good in God. But the next morning, or the next morning, or the next day, after a while, something's going to begin to talk with you. Because see, whatever you put in the computer, that's what's going to come on the screen. And so then you find that you can't do that. And we're commanded to cast down imagination, every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, to meditate in His thoughts day and night, that we don't get caught in the web. And that's why Paul said, these being a law unto themselves, having this law written within their heart, or having the Spirit of Christ that fulfilled the law in the Jesus body now in them according to the measure of whatever they'll receive it. Now he said, in this they are a law to themselves. Shall they not then be justified, they who do not have the law, but fulfill the law within their heart? Will God not justify these, seeing that the promise was to all nations, and you that have the law, speaking to the Jew, and you transgress the law, and you do not keep the law, then won't you be condemned and judged by the law, in that you kept not those things that were in there? And so it put the people back under the curse. And so when Jesus at Calvary rent the veil and the light came, the Jews went out of the presence of God, blinded in part, and still is wandering in ignorance and cannot understand until they come to the Messiah. Because they tried to get to the Heavenly Father without the Messiah. But when the Messiah come, He alone was heir to the glory. And He alone is your hope of that glory, if He is within you. As to all that have this hope within them, at the coming of the Thessalonian appearing of Jesus, they shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, when this innermost life, as to this glorification, shall be made manifest in your mortal genes. Now, if I do not take this inner treasure, as to the heavenly treasure, whereas the Bible said it's to the rending of the veil and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, now is made known to the church, the manifold wisdom of God, this heavenly treasure, as to the mind of Christ within these earthen vessels. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who washed the brethren's feet, who, the Bible says, was very lowly. When He said, take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Whereas the Bible said, in humility goes before honor, pride before destruction. And there He was, humbling Himself to a manger, humbling Himself to wash the feet, humbling Himself like a servant when He was God Almighty in the fullness. And there our Lord and Master did that, saying, if I be your Lord and Master, you call me that, and so I am. He said, and if I do these things, how much more ought you to follow in my steps? But Satan will get into the human body and he'll try to get it, to get out of the dry places, to get control of those intellectual reflex of yours as a personality, to project himself as to one way or another, to put a demon in this body and a fallen angel in this one and a fallen angel in this one until he has thousands and millions of people filled with fallen angels. And then he'll control them. He'll come in a headship in that beast that is to come, just like Jesus will come to the members of his body. Satan will come and he'll take control of all of this, being inspired and being are receiving his power by the red dragon and being in power and authority to rule over them that belong to him. See, so we know that the blood is about ready to come off the seat of atonement, and we know that with this, as I said the other night, the very day that Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, down came the fire, because that was typical of the church. So then God will devastate the wicked because he's angry with the wicked every day, and the prayers of the wicked are abomination in his sight. And he said, I will pursue the wicked till they perish from off of the earth. For I am angry with the wicked. I will not hear the prayer of the wicked. I will not receive the offering of the wicked. I hear people, you know, they sin and they do ugly things and they go on with their filth. And then they'll just weep and they'll say, well, there's one thing about it. I know God loves me. He hears my prayer. You must be out of your mind. God doesn't love you and God doesn't hear your prayer. Even as to the sinner, the Bible said, we know that God heareth not even a sinner's prayer. So someone would say, well, Brother Pike, how is it that we're saved when we come to call on the name of the Lord? Doesn't it say that everyone that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? That's true. Everyone that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if it is true as to your concept of that, then why is it? Why is it that the devil isn't saved? He called on the Lord. He went before the Lord and had a conversation with him. And it isn't because he don't believe, because the Bible said if you believe there's one God, you do well. So the devil also believes and trembles. And why is it that Esau lost the birthright? He called for the birthright, but it was too late. See, then someone would say, well, what are you saying? I'm saying that those that call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says if we do the things that please God, then we know that he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, we know that we have the petition that we desire of him, because we have confidence in our heart. And with that faith, we believe. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, didn't you say that God saved us while we were yet in our sins? How then can it be that we would call on him while we were doing right? It is because Jesus is our performance. And Jesus, in the beginning, before the world ever was, made the intercession and was slain in the foreknowledge of God. And the Bible said the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world and then came forth and was made manifest in these times. Paul said, greet my women workers whose names are written down in the Lamb's book of life. So does it mean then that everybody that comes to the Lord, that calls the name of the Lord, if it does, then again the question arises, how is it that Jesus said, not everyone that saith Lord, Lord shall inherit the kingdom, that is, be saved? And how is it the Bible said, with your lips ye serve me, but your heart is far from me? See, the heart compels the human body to deeds of righteousness, but the lips only testify as unto hypocrisy. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, again, you said what a man speaketh cometh from his heart. I say this again, it is true. But a lie, fornication, adultery, all these things come from the heart. I can say I love you, Jesus, and be lying all the time from my heart. I can say I am a Christian and be lying all the time from my heart. But at the same time, I can say I love you, Jesus, and that can be true in my heart. So, God saves us by foreknowledge. And we are God's elect according to foreknowledge. And when God sends the minister in our generation and in our day, then we who are the children of God call upon the name of the Lord. And his great loving spirit comes into our heart because we are the predestinated. And when that spirit comes into our heart, it seals our spirit unto the day of the redemption of this body, or the change of this body, which Thessalonians speaks of, or Paul speaks of it in Thessalonians. So then, it's very obvious that we are calling upon the name of the Lord. I am to preach the gospel in all the world for a witness. Why preach it to everybody? Because as to God standing here at the foundation of the world, He's looking at a people, and everybody has an equality. Everybody has an opportunity. Everybody can call on the name of the Lord and be saved as a sovereignty. But when He looks, He sees that they're not going to do it, and that they're going on in their own religious condition of hypocrisy, and they're going to try to mix darkness with light, and they're going to try to take God and worship God at the same time, hold on to something else, or worship some kind of idol, or be in idolatry, or being stubbornness. They're going to backbite and cheat and swindle. They're going to go after businesses and money. And God foresaw all of this. So He just separated the just from the unjust like that, and wrote their names down in the book of life, and appointed the other under condemnation. And the Bible said when Paul was preaching, and all of these that were foreordained unto eternal life believe, and the other that was foreordained unto condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, then they went their way, and they would not believe. For we are God's workmanship in Christ Jesus. And what He wanted me to be, He made Jesus to be that, and that was the finished work. So Paul said, as to this, when I would do good, I see this evil present. I cannot find a performance as to what I want to do for God. He said, I just can't find this performance. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? For it's the old beast body, he could have said. It started with Adam, and in Adam all died because it was subdued by that knowledge from the tree of knowledge. And this thing has been carried over as to the intellectual institutions of today, which are growing bigger and greater. And as I said the other night, that Martin Luther, back in the origin of these things, said, I fear that unless the institutions of the world take Christ into them, they're going to become the gates to hell. And sure enough, here we are, and they are the gates to hell. So they've continued. And today it is the law that forces you and your children into those institutions, unless God be merciful as to a dispensational grace that's given to me, as to this much grace having come this far, or someone that will pull away. And in the boldness of Christ, fight the system as we've had to fight it here. And they had to fight it in the early church to keep separation of church and state, as our forefathers ordained in the Declaration, as to our independence and as to our Constitution. Holding up for this, today you have liberty. You have a campground that's your own. You have a school that's your own. And these people that are beasts, and some of them brood beasts made to be taken and burned, Satan has used those working through the beast, as he did there at the fall of the garden, to try to crush you, come against you, do everything he could. But the Bible said, if your ways please God, He maketh even thine enemies to be at peace with you. And they'll come out against you one way, God will make them to flee seven ways. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, I'll lift up a standard against them. It's like as a testimony I heard today of somebody was communicating with somebody that's right close by, and in their home, it has literally been devastated as to the havoc that come into their home. They wanted to be the elite. They wanted to go to a church as to the upper echelon. They wanted the praise of men, and they disdained this, and they put it down, and they came against this, and then all of a sudden an affliction in the family, all of a sudden another afflicted child in the family, all of a sudden another thing to where that they can't take care of the patient by themselves, as they are now beginning to get up into the years. See, and those same people are looking in this direction now, and have made the statement that for that place we have great respect, and to that place we would like to come to church, at least be able to walk in it and see it. For 20 years we have never frequented the church, nor never visited the church. And now we see that is a shame. See your enemies around you. Look at the different ones around you and that's coming here that have the youth that have actually shot themselves. I know of two cases. And the others that have been killed and people that have been pulled out the front door by the winds and thrown down, the elite, and killed, drowned, thrown down on their face in the mud holes, and houses and buildings devastated, and deaths, continual deaths and sufferings and problems just because of this little place called Bethlehem. See, so we know for sure that God watches over us. David said, I know the Lord favors me because my enemies don't triumph over me. Though they come out against me, though people come through here and they lift themselves up as great ministers and great people and great things, and they say all kind of things to distort your mind, and they call you all kind of things to get your attention, to lead you away. Paul said, people rising up among the flock, leading away to themselves the flock. Supposedly being something, supposedly knowing something, supposedly being special, hard-hearted, contrary. The Bible said rebellion is the same as witchcraft and stubbornness is idolatry. Not yielding and not being tender, not flowing with the stream, and not working with the shepherd, not working with the elders, and not working with the sheep. And the first news you know, it's like that. And what happens? So then he's going to watch after his flock. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't appreciate that kind of preaching. But that's the kind of preaching it is. That's the way it is. We can give the Lord a hand, or we can rebel and receive of his wrath. That's the kind of preaching it is. If I preach to you the word, that's the kind of preaching I will have to preach. Someone would say, well, Brother Pike, wasn't God love, or isn't God love? I said this to you the other night. I told my wife, I said, Betty, let me show you something. I said, sometimes I preach, it seems hard. The way I preach, and people think, my, he's so hard. I said, I want to read a little something to you about the Savior. And I want you to listen to his preaching just for a few minutes. People read and they never perceive. And I said, while he's preaching, I want you to get this. Jesus, in the book of Matthew, he got disturbed. He was trying to give the blood out of his veins and give his life, even as a young man, and trying to get to his people because he was the personification of God. And he was trying to get to his people. And the sinners, they did not bother him because he came not to condemn the world, but that through him the world might be saved, because the world was condemned already. He came to condemn sin in the flesh. And to condemn sin in the flesh, you've got to deal with the people that's come to the knowledge of right and wrong. And of course, here come the Pharisees with the law, the Sadducees with the law. And they withstood him, and they would stand between him and between the people that he was trying to reach. He said, blind Pharisees that strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. He said, and stand at the door and won't go in, and those that's coming you turn away. And he said, hypocrites. And folks, as I said the other night, he didn't say hypocrites one time. I think my wife was literally shocked and astounded, because he said, hypocrites, Pharisees and scribes, hypocrites. He'd go down a passage of scripture, just maybe a line or two. He said, you Pharisees and scribes, you're hypocrites. And he'd go down another line or two. He'd say, Pharisees and scribes, you're hypocrites. And he went down probably at least 6 to 7 times, maybe that much or more, calling them Pharisees and scribes as the hypocrites. And then he just got so carried away in his ministry, he said, you fools, that's what you are. Fools and blind. Now, the Bible said, if any man call his brother a fool, he's in danger of hell fire. Someone would say, now, wait a minute. Jesus done that? He sure did do that. Somebody said, but he doesn't have any right to do that. But the Bible said he called Herod a fox. And I made the statement, he knew what he made. And if he made Herod a fox, that's what he was. And not only that, but if he called them fools, he knew what he made. And if he said they were fools, as far as I'm concerned, they were fools. Now, all right. I'm not going to call my brother a fool because my brother is no fool. He said the fool has said in his heart there's no God. See now, here he said, fools, you generation of vipers. All in one sermon he brought this out. He said, you generation of vipers. He said, you blind leaders of the blind that strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Now, folks, that's what I call strong preaching. If I come in here tonight and I preach that way to you, I'd feel like that was a little strong. So I said, Betty, I'm just a junior. When it comes to him preaching and me preaching, I feel like a junior. So that means that there is some wrong in the world today, and that means that there is some wrong in the church today, and that means there's some people that God isn't pleased with, that though they've come out of Egypt as to appearance and joined themselves with the children of God, yet in their heart they have turned back into Egypt, and still the hunger and thirst of the world and the love of the world is still in them. And the Bible said if the love of the world is there, the love of the Father is not in you. And they are still looking back into the world and turning back into the world in their heart, and their minds is on faces and forms and money and business and eating and drinking and buying and selling and laughing and talking and all these kind of things, and movies and television and magazines and all kind of things. That's not right. If that kind of mind is in you, then I say get rid of it. Be converted and let the mind of Christ be in you that was also in Jesus. See, the thing is, that body of yours is going to have this inner mind of God thoughts to overpower every thought of evil that is working in your flesh to try to get into your heart. When the worm gets into the heart of the apple, it's no good. You've just got a few bruises and God's cutting them off and you're still good fruit. But folks, it's from the heart. The eyes of the Lord are throughout the earth looking for the upright in heart, that he might show himself strong in their behalf and give them the good things of life. For he said, thine iniquity is even the veil of thine iniquity, which is the flesh, has separated between thy spiritual man and God, or thee and God, holding thee back from good things. Not that his hand or arm cannot reach you. So then we're going to have to make this life manifest, going on to perfection, making an effort to be perfect in the sight of God, and making this life of Christ manifest in the mortal genes as to the mind that turned away from the flesh, crucified the flesh, took a mind to suffer, mortified the deeds of the body, and turned to the spirit world, the conversation in heaven, and all of the deeds conforming to the Spirit, doing always the things that he saw the Spirit do, as to his eyes of understanding. If you sin, then you're of the devil. You've never known God. But when you have the Spirit of Christ, you have the love of spiritual things, and you want the Word and the understanding of the Word, and you grow as babes on the milk as to the inspiration of the Word, and as to the revelating mind of God from glory to glory toward the full measure of that full stature. If you're not trying to do that, someone would say, well, I'm just taking it. You know, I'm born again and all them other things. Confuse me and Brother Pike, I'm not going in that direction. And I'm satisfied with what I got, you know. That means you're not born again. You're not born again. See, you had a still birth or something happened to you. You've got doctor, there's something that's wrong with you. See, because as long as a baby is healthy, whether in the womb or out of the womb, as long as that baby is healthy, it's developing and it is growing on toward the full measure of manhood or womanhood. As long as that child is healthy and right. So if you don't go this way, that means you haven't got it. So let us go on to perfection. Let's not turn again to lay the foundation of repentance as of dead works in the sight of God. But let us go on to perfection. The laying on of hands. The speaking as to the word of judgment. The resurrection of the dead. And all these great things. And these things will we do if God permit. And he will permit according to our growth and desire. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the leper, he said. Go on, strengthen your faith, contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And live with this thought in mind as I close tonight. He was delivered for my offenses, so my bodily presence as to that which is unbecoming in his sight, the old beastly part, it's dead, it's buried, it's gone. He's never seen it since Calvary. And when my conversion came, it was the confirmation that he had not seen it, he'd done away with it. And he was raised again in his glorious body as to my justification. And today, because he lives, having been buried with him in baptism unto death, I am now resurrected with him in the newness of life. And it's not me living, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I now live, I live with the Son of God within me who gave himself for me. Now, that means I'm bone of his bone. I'm flesh of his flesh. And my spiritual being is to life is hid in him, the Christ. And in that I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, I am now the resurrected Christ. I am now the resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ as a member in particular of that great, wonderful body. And today, I have a glorified body. I have a holy body. I have a godly body. And though you look at me as to after the flesh, to know somebody after the flesh, but my flesh is dead and my flesh is gone, and this is word flesh, I am born of Christ. And even though you don't see me as to my ultimatum in God, he already sees me in the change, and he already sees this unbecoming image as to already gone away. And this very body will take on immortality. For there is a natural body and a spiritual body. And we having borne the image of the earthly as Adam unto death and to the dust, so now we bear the image of the heavenly as to this life of Christ being made manifest in these mortal genes to take it to the full measure of the full stature to the change as to Christ is appearing. And so then we're perfecting Christ within us. And the ministry is set there for the perfecting of the saints, which means not as to works, but as to your faith, to tell you the right things. And Christ on the inside of you as the nature of your tree will cause you to bear fruits of holiness and righteousness. And you will then, as the Bible said, have your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal or everlasting life. All right, let's stand together. I appreciate your patience as to the hunger. Anytime that you hunger and thirst, you're going to be filled. God is going to talk to you. Let's sing this chorus together. Your leaves will not wither. You don't have to worry about your tree withering up. You have all power over Satan, the enemy, which is, of course, Christ. Christ that is the power over the enemy. Can we sing a little chorus together, Brother Taylor? Let's sing the little chorus we sing so often. I love him. I like this chorus because I'm always reminded when this chorus is brought to my mind that Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, for you are not to love in word, but love is in deed. Love is an act. And if God, the Spirit of love on the inside of you, is really there, then your deeds will conform to love. And love will be a self-denial to live your life for God and others, to esteem others better than yourself, to look on the things of another, to seek the welfare of another. And you will want to go into all the world in your efforts as to whatever you can and share, hating the garments as to the human body that's spotted with sin, pulling them out of the fire. Let's sing together. I love him. Can you sing that with me? All because that he first loved me, And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Sing that with me now. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me. And he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Let's sing this chorus now. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I'm found, and I was blind, but now I see. Can you sing that with me? It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and it was grace my fears relieved. Or how precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. And when the battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Wear a crown, we'll wear a crown, we'll wear the bright and shiny. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. I'll wear a crown, we'll wear the crown. Paul said, there is laid up for me a crown, not only for me, but everyone that doeth the will of God, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for you. I'm gonna wear a crown in the new. You love the Lord. Let's sing another little chorus or two together. God is right close to us. Paul said at Mars Hill, the God that you ignorantly worship, speaking to those people, he said, this day I do declare him unto you. He is not far from you. He is above you. He is in you. He is through you. And in him you exist. You have your being. And he said, why then liken the God to the Godhead, liken it unto graven images and beasts, birds of the air, and these kind of things? Seeing that ye are the offsprings of God, he said, then you being made in the image of God, you ought to understand more what God is like, not like as to a graven image. So to the world there's gods that are many, but to us there is but one God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. One faith, one baptism, one God and remission of sin is in that one name. Let's sing together again. I love Him because He is mine. Sing that with me. I love Him because He's divine. I will love Him forever, it seems, for He's Jesus the Nazarene. For I love Him because He is mine. And I love Him because He's divine. And I'll love Him forever, it seems, for He's Jesus the Nazarene. Let's sing this little chorus, Brother Taylor. Thy will be done, Lord, all let Thy will be done. The altars are open. Create in us the mind of Christ the Father and the Son. For it's in Thy shining glory I can see that Holy One. And my hope is to be like Him. So let Thy will be done. Let's sing this chorus. The light of the glory of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face, of His unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. That's the glory that is changing me. Sing that with me now. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Yes, it's changing me. Oh, it's changing. Oh, the light of the glory of His unveiled face. It's that glory that is changing me. Let's just lift our hands up together. Have it tried, you know, to bring to you a little bit about Jesus, about the wonderful love of God. I'll let you know He loves you. You're the apple of His eye. No one is going to touch you and not suffer the consequences. The person that neglects this wonderful great salvation will suffer loss, and your works will be burned. But here you are, having the truth to come to you. You're so fortunate. You're so fortunate.
So many people go through ritualistics. They go through formalities. They go through teachings. They go through all kind of things, of books, and their mind is so fuddled up and they cannot find their way. But you're fortunate. God brought you the truth, the very truth.
Someone might say, well, I don't believe that. Then why be a fool and come here and waste my time and yours? Why don't you go where it is according to your understanding and fellowship them that do have it and not trouble us? But I say to you that have ears to hear and eyes to see, the very truth from Almighty God has come to you. And because this word of truth has come to you, then you have the greatest opportunity of all people. Wherever this truth goes, Jesus said, I'm set for the defense of the truth. I came to bear witness of the truth. And we are here as witnesses, His witnesses. If not left Himself without witnesses, never in any generation. And in this generation, I come as a witness. I come to bear witness of the truth, because His word is truth. Pilate said, what is truth? Jesus could have said, you're looking at truth because I'm the Word, and the Word of God is truth. So I say today, the Word is truth, and we have this great, wonderful, heavenly treasure as to this Word made spirit in our heart, as to the knowledge and mind of Christ, this heavenly treasure in the earthen vessels, to where this life, even the immortality of God, can be brought to light. The Bible said, and immortality or immortality was brought to light through Jesus Christ, to the rent veil. And today, immortality is brought to your understanding, for understanding is light. And this light, this understanding of immortality, now, that means that you can live forever. Immortality doesn't just insinuate as to a description of your inner man, but immortality indicates that you are being changed as the creature. For the creature itself shall be delivered into the glorious liberties of the sons of God, even as we walk into the Spirit. And this wonderful glory is changing us from glory to glory, as to the light of the unveiled glory, and into the very image of Almighty God. So then the Bible said, when this mortal has put on immortality, because immortality has been brought to light, and if immortality has been brought to light, if we can conceive of this wonderful light or understanding of immortality, Paul's mystery, that we should not all sleep, then we don't have to go by the way of the grave. We can go by the way of the Spirit and not by the way of the grave. And we can get our minds into the Spirit of Christ, into the world of God, and change this vile, wretched creature into the glorious liberties of that which is immortality. So then, seeing that it's been brought to light, I preach this immortality to you, that you may realize that you are by faith the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the mind of God as to an ultimatum, finished as to a perfection, you are a finished product in Him. For the Bible said you are complete in the Lord Jesus. And God, looking over the chasm of this problem, or the days of problems and troubles, He doesn't see your feeble flesh, your unbecoming being, that thing that is weak and contemptible, but He sees you as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, as a finished product over at the change, and there in the glorious liberties, even as I saw you that love the Lord in the vision, standing out in the millennium after the fire had passed over. For remember, it's still the same earth. The fire will pass over 7 times, it was said, as to that in Daniel, let 7 times pass over it, once the trees cut down. After that, it was to live again. And sure enough, the man came back to his throne. He was no longer a beast.
And so the seven times will pass over to the tribulation. And then the Jews will come back in. Though God cut their tree down at Calvary, they are not reckoned for as to knowledge except in the last 7 years. And seven times will pass over. And then they'll come to their senses and be no more a beast wandering to and fro. And they'll give the glory to God. And in that hour, the great kingdom will be restored. And it'll be a grand and glorious day. And they will then be called the servants of God, even as Nebuchadnezzar was. And they will then give the glory to God. So while we lift our hands together, closing our eyes to search our hearts, see if we're in the faith, I make known to you the righteousness of Christ from faith to faith. And we're going to sing this little chorus closing.
And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and on the land, and time shall be.
Remember, the things of God have an end. The mistress shall be finished, and time. When the mistress finished, the church will have completed its course as to the inner man and his diplomacy, and all of a sudden this heavenly treasure within the earthen vessels will be made manifest in your mortal bodies to bring on immortality.
And time shall be no more, and I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood that washed away His name. Once again, so I
going to call Chris to come up and dismiss us. While Chris is coming, let's search your hearts. Don't forget, we're supposed to go over into the Mississippi area to have a meeting there. And we've kind of put it off until now. Communications was made today to try to get everything underway. I trust that Brother Ron and the others, as to Brother Steve and Brother Collins, those that are in charge of the advertisement, would help us to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that the house may be filled. And they are in their reproduction, spreading the gospel and the spirit of life to bring in the sheep. We're going to sing this little chorus in the closing. We sing it so often. Compel them to come in by showing them a light. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Give them an invitation and let it come, or let them come. All right, let's sing this chorus together.
Bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep, not sheaves now, we shall. Bringing in the
the sheep, bringing in the sheep, bringing in the sheep. And we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheep. Now, bringing in the sheaves, harvest time. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in.